NetSuite by Oracle brings accounting, finance, inventory, and HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce costs everywhere. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/wallstreet.
From the opinion pages of the Wall Street Journal, this is Potomac Watch.
House impeachment hearings begin and the partisan lines are drawn. Is this a search for hidden facts and truth regarding the president's behavior towards the new Ukrainian president, Volodymyr Zelensky? Or is it a pro forma exercise driving to a foregone political conclusion? Welcome. I'm Paul Gigot with the Wall Street Journal. Here to talk about the early hours of the impeachment probe, Kyle Peterson. Hello, Kyle.
Hello, hello.
And the Potomac Watch columnist for the Journal, Kim Strassel. How are you, Kim?
Hi, Paul. I'm good.
The opening statements, I thought, were by Adam Schiff, the chairman of the Intelligence Committee, was particularly instructive in that it laid out what I would describe as the best possible case the Democrats have for interpreting the evidence that is publicly available so far. And and they kind of put the worst face, if you will, that's on the public facts. Boils down to a quote I saw and towards the end of his opening remarks where he said that he posed it in the form, Mr. Schiff posed it as the form of a question, but this isn't really a question from him. He has already reached his conclusion. He said the point that they're investigating is if the president sought to condition, coerce, extort, or bribe an ally into conducting investigations to aid his reelection campaign and did so by withholding official acts, unquote. Those official acts would have been aid to Ukraine from the United States, or a potential meeting at the Oval Office between the two presidents. Kim, have I summarized what is the essence of the Schiff argument?
Yeah, it is perfectly summarized. But what was striking to me in that best case scenario that you say he laid out is the weakness of the Democratic case or the argument that this rises to the level of a high crime or misdemeanor. So what we heard a lot from Mr. Schiff were some of the suppositions and concerns that State Department officials had. What we also heard was Schiff's concerns about the doings of Rudy Giuliani, the president's lawyer in Ukraine. He quoted Mick Mulvaney, the president's chief of staff, who after all of this broke, gave a press conference and made the point that sometimes diplomacy does involve trading different acts and that people should get over it. But he didn't really have much by way of a document trail, papers saying this would happen. And he even had to admit at the end of his opening statement that, well, the aid did flow to the Ukraine, although he suggested this only happened because the White House was worried it would get in trouble. I'm not really sure that's the case. But overall, it just didn't seem like a very convincing argument or one that I think many Americans are going to look at and go, ah, yeah, that's obviously very, very bad.
Kyle, did you learn anything?
Yeah, the one thing that is new so far is Ambassador William Taylor, the head of the mission in Ukraine, said that he learned this after his previous testimony, that one member of his staff overheard a conversation between President Trump and the U.S. ambassador to the EU, Gordon Sondland, where Trump was asking Sondland about the investigations. And then apparently after the phone call, the member of Taylor's staff asked Sondland, you know, what does the president think about Ukraine? And Sondland reportedly said that he cares more about these investigations of Biden than about the Ukraine. So that's the one piece of information that is new so far that I've seen. and closes the gap a little bit between, you know, what was happening in Ukraine between, you know, Volker, Kurt Volker and Sondland and all of the testimony that we've seen so far, closes the gap a little bit between them and Trump. But so far, it seems like a recitation of the testimony, the transcripts that were already released. And I'm starting to wonder whether Democrats made a mistake in the way that they staged this, because, you know, the press corps may watch what happens today and throw up their hands and say, we knew this already.
Well, I'm not so sure the press corps still won't broadcast all of these details and portray them in dire a way as they can. But, you know, on your point about the Taylor, what he learned, that's the new fact, I'm not, that didn't surprise me at all. I really have no doubt that Donald Trump cared a lot about the investigation of Biden. He said it on the call. The question is this, as Schiff claims, amount to extortion, bribery, an abuse of power, and therefore is impeachable? That is really, I guess, the essence of the complaint. And one of the things that's unfolding here is that President Trump was conducting this Rudy Giuliani kind of sideshow. And it was a dumb idea getting Rudy Giuliani to do anything for you at this stage of his career is a perilous exercise. But sending your lawyer to go lobby Ukrainian officials to start an investigation outside of official channels, all the official channels opposed it. His own national security advisor, John Bolton, opposed it. The question I have is, who supported it inside the administration, Kim?
Well, probably nobody, right? But look, again, is any of this surprising to anyone? You know, you have to this day, the thing that is still the most important piece of information and also the most telling, because it is so pure Donald Trump, is that transcript between him and the Ukrainian president, in which you can just see how his mind works. And, you know, it's bugging him, right? What did Ukraine do during 2016 that might have hurt his campaign when he was running? And why now is his, you know, potential opponent in the Democratic primary potentially getting a pass when his son was sitting on this board and he can't help himself? So he throws in the CrowdStrike reference, which wasn't even right. He didn't know what he was talking about with regards to that. It's pure Trumpian.
What was remind listeners what CrowdStrike
was? Well, so CrowdStrike is it gets to this whole question of the Democratic National Committee server. And this other organization that investigated the hack. And I think that what Donald Trump was trying to do was reference Romania, which is where the supposed Guccifer hacker was located.
This is the hacking of the Democratic National Committee.
National Committee, yes.
Server in 2016.
Correct. And I truly believe, and other people believe, that Donald Trump got his countries mixed up. Like, it wasn't supposed to be Ukraine, that this was the center of the question. There's some conspiracy theories about whether or not Ukraine played some role there. But I think he was just mistaken in who he was talking to and what he was talking about. Now, one just thing I should say for all of our listeners is that the time we're taping this, we have so far only had the opening statements from the two gentlemen testifying today, as well as questioning and comments from Adam Schiff and his counsel.
That's right.
So we don't know yet how either of these men are going to fare under Republican questions. And I think there's going to be some really important things that come out about whether or not they acknowledge that there were other potential reasons for aid being withheld, or where Republicans point out that a lot of what they're relating here are things that they heard from somebody else, that they are not necessarily privy to the information that they are speculating about to a certain degree.
We're talking about the opening hours of the House impeachment hearings public phase, and you're listening to Potomac Watch from the Wall Street Journal.
The Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Investment professionals reveal their best mentors, how they find their next great idea, and a few funny stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
From the opinion pages of the Wall Street Journal, this is Potomac Watch.
Welcome back. I'm Paul Gigot with Kyle Peterson and Kim Strassel. Kyle, we also had the opening statement from Devin Nunes, the ranking Republican on the Intelligence Committee. What did you make of his argument?
Well, I think what he wants to do is to ask questions that are questions that Adam Schiff is not all that interested in answering, which is, you know, what was Hunter Biden doing with Burisma? Was there any he specifically said, you know, is there any evidence to suggest that there was U.S. policy action that was taken on the basis of that? He's trying to get some witnesses called that Adam Schiff has not said whether he's going to call yet, but essentially just painting the whole exercise as a partisan attempt to undermine Donald Trump. You know, he talked about the investigation, the Mueller investigation into collusion, which didn't pan out. And like I said, just painting the whole thing as a partisan exercise.
Yeah, I didn't think, Kim, that it was the most effective argument he could have made. He certainly put it into a context that in a couple of cases is legitimate. I don't think you can appreciate the Trump effort regarding Ukraine unless you put it in the context of the 2016 election and what Trump, the grieved feeling that Trump has that, in fact, his first 2 years of his presidency were undermined by a false charge of collusion with Russia, when, in fact, there's some evidence that Ukraine played some people in Ukraine may have played a role in working with his opponents. I have not looked at that in any detail, but that's part of Trump's motivation. The least you would think you'd want to do if you're Adam Schiff and you're conducting a fair-minded probe would be to call the head of some of these the people that are on the witness list that Mr. Nunes offered, basically Schiff has denied any witness related to that period in Ukraine.
Right. And, you know, he was called out on that by Elise Stefanik, who's a New Yorker, a Republican on the committee, who, before we even started proceedings today, raised a point of order and said, look, when are we going to get an answer about whether or not any of these other witnesses that we've asked for are going to get a hearing? And he just dodged the question and said, we'll talk about it after the hearing. I think that's another way of saying, no, you're not going to hear from any of them.
I'd be stunned. Wouldn't you be stunned if Schiff allowed Hunter Biden and who's the other fellow?
Archer. Devin Archer. Yeah.
Alexandra Chalupa.
Chalupa.
Who was a contractor for the Democratic National Committee who worked with Ukrainian officials.
Right. I don't think that there is a chance in anywhere that they're going to get put up on the stand. But, you know, to go to Nunes's statement, I agree with you. I think it's important to put it in context and to call those people. I think it also was worthwhile putting it in the context of the fact that Democrats have been saying they want to impeach Donald Trump since he was first elected. I thought it was also important that he pointed out the flawed process that has gone on up till now and the fact that Republican requests have been denied, that Schiff has shielded certain witnesses from answering questions, that all of this happened up until now, much in behind closed doors, that the president's legal counsel has not been allowed to attend and is still not being allowed to attend at least these intelligence committee hearings. What I thought he missed, though, and it was a serious omission, is there wasn't really any discussion from the Republicans about the substance of this, some of the things we've been talking about, and about whether or not what actually happened again, rises to the level of a high crime or misdemeanor. As we've mentioned on this podcast, you can have presidents who make bad judgments or even reckless judgments. But in this case, the things that seem to have been threatened never came to be. And so those are points Republicans ought to be making, and yet none of them seem to have a unified voice on those issues.
I would agree with that completely. But the caveat is that to make the case that something is not a high crime or misdemeanor, you sort of have to admit that it wasn't perfect in the president's words. And he, you know, the president has signaled that he will not give an inch here and doesn't want anybody to even talk about, you know, this wasn't a quid pro quo because he says the call was perfect. I mean, in a healthier political culture, the president would say, you know, listen, I understand why I shouldn't have done this. I think there's some corruption with in Ukraine. Burisma is worth looking at, but I understand why I shouldn't have done this. And Democrats would say, you know, we'll move toward a censure resolution or something like that. But both sides are running to their respective corners, and the president is saying there was nothing wrong at all. I'm just exercising foreign policy, you know. And then Democrats, a lot of them have been frothing at the mouth to impeach the president for a long, long time, and so we're in this sort of stalemate where there are competing narratives and nobody's really engaging on the real question, which, as you say, I totally agree, is was this a high crime or misdemeanor deserving of impeachment?
The words that are now being used by Democrats, a couple of them, one extortion, one is bribery. I think neither of those are accurate. Those are criminal actions. The Justice Department has already said that there was no bribery that took place here. Because under the law, no thing of value was exchanged. Information per se, which is what the president was asking for, is not qualify under the bribery statute. That's and then the extortion, he didn't extort anything. So I think that fails. I mean, Schiff made the point of saying that, well, just because the effort failed doesn't mean that it's still not an impeachable offense, because he wanted to do it, and therefore, like any common criminal who attempts a crime but fails, you can be prosecuted for that. Of course, the problem is, of course, I mean, there's no underlying crime here that I see at all. I think Democrats kind of are conceding that point. They must have had some kind of talking. They must have done some focus groups and found out that the words extortion and bribery work, because they, you know, politically, because they're using those all a kind of now all of them every time they talk about this. Because I think if it's basically just an exercise in Trump going over the line and saying, investigate corruption, and by the way, Joe Biden and his son Hunter were involved there, that's not going to persuade the enough of the country, in my view.
No. And look, here's the other thing about that, too. If you want to try to say that it's a crime because of the president's intent, I mean, one of the problems with that, just from a legal perspective, is that somebody, in order to say that they had a malicious intent, they actually have to know that they are committing a crime. And again, I actually think Donald Trump really does believe his phone call was perfect. He knew that all kinds of people were listening on that call. I don't think he thought that what he was doing was necessarily incorrect. You know, we can make a judgment about that, but I think that he thought that it was reasonable to throw this in there because that's how Donald Trump thinks about things. I think the other thing, too, is, you know, why are we hearing about all of this is because we're having a lot of people talk about their internal conversations of workings within a government. And here's the thing. This is why presidents have advisors around them, including legal advisors, because they come up with ideas that sometimes aren't great ideas or even potentially are illegal ideas. And that's why they have people who are experts on the law and things around them to say, no, we don't do that. And then they don't do that. So, we're getting a kind of inside view of the sausage making of government here and the back and forth that happened. And what it seems to be happening is Democrats are attempting to criminalize that or make that an impeachment worthy offense.
Yeah, they're trying to use it for impeachment. I my own view here is they might have been wiser politically to use it against use it as a theme, evolving theme about Trump's bad judgment in against Trump for his election campaign, and say, look, all these smart people have left. if you get a second term with this guy, unbridled, unconstrained by the need to win re-election again, what are you going to get? Instead, by going for the impeachment, I think that they are essentially solidifying the kind of partisan division, Kyle, that you referred to earlier. Now, it probably will do some damage to Donald Trump, but I don't think it's going to accomplish what they want. And they're setting a precedent here with impeachment. Now, you know, that will, I think, probably redound to the detriment of a future Democratic president, because there's going to be Republicans who say, okay, you've done it now. We're going to do it, and we're off to the races just because we don't like something that you did.
That is a huge risk. And you mentioned earlier that the language is shifting on the Democratic side from quid pro quo to extortion or bribery. I mean, I think they're trying to move the needle. That is, I think, what they're trying to do today with the live impeachment testimony, which is being aired on at least three cable channels as we speak. I mean, just looking at the polling, so 538 has long-running impeachment polls, and just digging into the independent, which is maybe the most interesting. So as of, I believe, yesterday, support for impeachment among independents, 41%. Support for impeachment and removal, 44%. Support for holding an inquiry, 49.5%. So among the swing voters, people who are going to decide, how this is perceived outside of the partisan base, people who are going to decide the 2020 election, I mean, they're not convinced. They're not even convinced that holding an inquiry is the right thing to do.
Well, does that suggest to you that the feeling on impeachment is polarized? People are in their different camps, and it's unlikely to change? Or have we seen any movement in one direction or another?
Well, the big movement came when the call was released. I mean, there have been long-running impeachment polls throughout a lot of the Trump presidency. When the news of the Ukraine call started and the transcript came out, I mean, there was a big jump in the impeachment polling, but it has been pretty steady since then. So, I mean, we'll see if the live testimony can change anything, or if there's any new information that will come out of these, other than that little anecdote from William Taylor, which I spoke about a minute ago. But it's hard to see it moving a whole lot.
Kim, do you see any are there any other particular witness on the list that Schiff has allowed, which is basically made up of American officials at the State Department, Pentagon, or NSC who dealt with Ukraine? Any of those people on the list you're particularly eager to hear from?
Well, again, I think the thing that would be most useful would be to find out if Schiff would put some of these Republican names that they've called for up there. I mean, the people that Republicans have called for, you know, and again, I think that this is going to matter to those folks that Kyle is mentioning, these independents, because the argument here by Democrats is, well, we're now holding these live impeachment hearings so that we can provide fairness and everyone can see how fair our inquiry is. It's going to be a really big knock on Schiff if he completely walls Republicans off from A, asking any questions about the whistleblower, and B, asking any questions about the 2016 events that were on Donald Trump's mind when he asked about this in the call. That will strike a lot of sort of fair-minded or neutral observers as unfair, and that's not going to help Democrats. That being said, one thing I will point out, Schiff is a lot luckier this time than Jerry Nadler was when he called in Bob Mueller. Bob Mueller refused to play any of the sort of Democrats' soundbite games, but I was amused this morning watching Ambassador Taylor and George Kent are quite happy to play those games. So they've been willingly quoting and rereading their text messages, which did great drama in front of the television cameras, and the Democrats will at least walk out with those sound bites to replay in campaign ads.
All right. Thank you, Kim. Thank you, Kyle. We'll be back later in the week with a report on the rest of the week's hearings on impeachment. Thanks for listening.
The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost effective. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.